I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back to the Rugby League Guru Podcast. Today I'm joined once again by Natty from the Weekly Rubdown. Natty, what's happening?
Not much, mate. Just gearing up, getting ready to toggle fuck my side again and get ready for the next round, mate.
I suppose you took the missus out for a few dinners over the weekend?
Absolutely not. I watched every fucking second of the football. It was fantastic.
Mate, I sat there on Thursday night and I put on every same game multi you could ever imagine, an absolute duck eggs.
Yep, I was exactly the same, mate. I was just excited to just, I probably put on about six same game multis, and by the end of it, I didn't know whether I was coming or going, what I bet on, who, what try scorers. I was just happy to be there, mate.
I got to Saturday, the 5:30 game, the Tigers, and as you know, I've been eating Harry Grant's ass for the last fucking 2 years, so I had to get on him first try. He was at about $41, and I just thought, oh, that is massive overs. So I made a decent investment there, and oh, good God, you should have seen me when he went over.
Wow, that's what dreams are made of, baby.
I had Harry Grant, and then I got kick out the next day, first try, and I got Tom Trbojevic in the last game, so I got three first try scorers, so I think I was about 3 from 100 bets, and somehow ended up a Mozza just from those three. Was flying.
That's unbelievable. Now, you're not going to listen to me, but it's time to put the pun away. You'll never do better than that. It's time to hang up the boots.
They've been hung well and truly. It's never getting better. I'm well aware of it. God, it hurts.
Yeah, no, that's mate, three first try scorer bets, unheard of. I've never heard of it happening.
Natty, it brings my career total to 3 first try scorers.
Well done. I'll never catch you. Never.
Not a chance. Let's. What were your highlights from round 3 of the NRL?
Wait, let me have a look here. So, first up, Parramatta were just they just blew me away with their professionalism and the way they handled the Broncos in that one. You did tell me that the Parramatta Eels would be too good for the Broncos. I didn't listen. I was on the Broncos. I thought they were fantastic all across the park, Parramatta. Ryan Madison, how good is he?
Mate, they are an incredible footy team when they're on. I thought, you know, as soon as I sat down on Thursday night and they showed both dressing rooms, you could just see Parramatta, they're laughing, giggling, they're slapping each other's asses. Dylan Brown walks out, fucking winks at the camera. You just went, oh my God, they're on here. Dry track, this is over. And they just blew them off the park, didn't they?
Yeah, beaming with confidence. And when you've got young blokes like Moses and, like I said, Dylan Brown, Mahoney, confidence is everything. They're on top of the world at the moment, so they'll be hard to beat.
Mate, the team that really impressed me, the game that really impressed me, Canberra Raiders, Melbourne Storm. Canberra obviously came home with the chocolates there, but to be honest with you, I thought Melbourne, you know, they just stumbled at the final step on about 3 occasions to score a try. I think if they were playing 50% of the NRL, Melbourne probably win that night. But Canberra's defence, just incredible, wasn't it?
Yeah, they were definitely on the Raiders. The Storm, they just looked a little bit out of sorts, which was really uncharacteristic for them, because usually the Melbourne Storm, they're great off a rest, you know. Bellamy usually has them firing for the first round of the season, and obviously, well, it's not the first round of the season, but it might as well be. I was very surprised, taking nothing away from the Raiders. They were incredible. But I just think it just wasn't Storm's day. Another team that really impressed me, and it has to be the hardest effort on the weekend, was the Newcastle Knights, 14-all with the Panthers after losing Watson and Pierce, and obviously not even having Ponga to start the game. I just thought that was the gutsiest tie draw ever. What was your thoughts on that game?
Mate, could you imagine if that would have happened to the Knights 3 years ago? Would have been 100-0.
Yeah. Big time. And look, if you're a Knights fan, you take that as a win. That draw, you just go, yeah, we'll take that as a win, because you add in your stars into that team and they blow Panthers off the park.
I thought it was a really good game to see blokes like Aiden Guerra, Sione Matautia, however the fuck you say it.
I'm sure that's not how you pronounce it, but go on.
I'm confident it's not. Timmy Glasby, you know, those guys stepping up and playing close to 80 minutes, each of them, just an incredible effort. Like, once they do get those, you know, your Pierce, your Watsons, your KPs back in, they're one hell of a footy side, aren't they?
Oh, big time. And, you know, like you said, those young blokes stepping up. 2 or 3 years ago, everyone was complaining that the Knights in their rebuild, you know, they'd gone for too much of a young side and there just wasn't any experience. But now they're reaping what they sowed. You know, like, these young blokes are starting to come up. They've got more experience. They're putting their hand up. I mean, how good are the Saifidi brothers?
Yeah, and, like, especially with those Saifidi brothers, you know, they're pretty much the only two left from the really, really dark days, where realistically, when that all started, like, they weren't ready for first grade. There was just no one else there, and they are really top class footballers now, aren't they? The one coming off the bench, he's a monster.
Yeah, they're big boys, mobile, fit as well. It really looked like a fit team. They were getting across the park really well, and I thought that's where they sort of held on in that game. The Panthers were running out of gas there. And the Knights were just all over them.
Another highlight in that game for me, obviously, was seeing my mate Stephen Crichton play at left centre. Doesn't he look dangerous?
Ooh, mate, I thought of you. As soon as I saw him get named, I quickly checked our league to see who had him, and I'm surprised to see that you didn't have him.
I'll be honest with you, I've got to switch my game on a little bit in that draft comp. You know what I've done? I'm a moron. I've got my draft comp with my mates, and I've got my draft comp that we're in, and I've got them under two different accounts. I'm a dickhead. So for me, when I look at our draft comp, I'm like, oh god, I've got to sign out. I've got to type in a new email address. I've got to type in a password. I just look at it and go, fuck, just too hard. But I think I've got to work out a system, because I had my first win over on the weekend. I beat the NRL physio, which I thought was funny, seeing how much you've bullied me about all my injuries.
Yeah, it was good. Well, mate, that the COVID-19 attack couldn't have happened at a better time for you and your boys, because it's given them a chance to sort of come good.
Didn't you guys see it coming?
Yeah, no, I didn't get the memo.
Ah, missed out, mate. I drafted especially for it.
Okay, nice. See, that's good. That's, mate, Nostradamus.
Mate, let's dive into the games this week. We've got, on Thursday, we've got Brisbane Broncos up against Sydney Roosters. Now, Brisbane, obviously, coming off the back of a pretty heavy defeat last week, they're going to be hungry. We've seen some changes to the back row. Obviously, Alex Glenn, captain, has sliced his leg in half, so he's out. He's replaced by Ethan Bullimore. I haven't seen much of him. Have you seen much of him?
No, I haven't at all. But, I mean, you know what the Broncos are like. They don't put nobodies in there, that's for sure.
I think another big loss, especially Supercoach-wise, for if you didn't have him in Classic, you've come out on top, but you're not doing it right. Katoni Staggs, he'll be replaced by Jesse Arthurs. I really like Arthurs, but he's one of those guys that his Supercoach score doesn't seem to reflect how well he's playing footy.
No, and the thing with Arthurs is, and you saw it against Parramatta, he's a smaller body. So when he ran the ball, he sort of got thrown around a lot. He's not bad in defense, but I can just see him lacking that potency in the center position. And also, obviously, there's going to be new combinations there. I can't see the Broncos getting a win in this one.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you have a look at this Rooster side, they've named the same 17 from last week, but 18th man, Takiaho, 19th Orbison. I think they are almost certainties to come in. Victor Radley's at the judiciary tonight, fighting his charge. How do you think Radley will go?
Yeah, it's a bit of a toss-up, isn't it? I'll say he gets off, but you just don't know, do you?
Yeah, it's a hard call, but I think we can safely assume that Takiaho comes into the starting lineup. Collins drops back to the bench, and Orbison will start on the right edge, and Crichton will drop back to the bench. Yeah,
100%. That team, it's a sexy team, isn't it? And they were very clinical on the weekend. They were back to their Roosters' best. James Tedesco is on another level. He can't be stopped. I thought the Morris boys were just incredible. Brett Morris tracking down who made the break. It was Johnson tracked him, put him down, made another attack as well in defense. I just thought, what are they, 33, 34 years old, and just still doing it. Josh Morris with a little deft grubber kick in for Kyle Flanagan to score as well. Yeah, they looked really good.
They played some great footy that night. Let's go to Friday, 6 p.m. We've got Penrith up against the New Zealand Warriors. Warriors, mate, what about their game on the weekend? Jesus.
Well, with 5 minutes to go, it was 45 sets from 45 sets. Unbelievable. Broke an NRL record for most completions in a game. It was near perfect. Surprised everyone. I actually tipped the Warriors. I just thought... being away from, it was going to work two ways. It was either going to be they're away from their families and it's going to rattle them, the injuries, it's going to rattle them, or it's going to give them motivation and cohesion and galvanize that side. And it's obviously that's what happened. They played amazing. Some of those young forwards really stepped up and were putting some hits on. And then, of course, you know, you had Roger Tuivasa-Sheck doing Roger Tuivasa-Sheck things.
I said to you last week that I couldn't believe CHT wasn't named in the halves, but geez, Cody Nikorima absolutely brained them. Egg all over my face there. Interesting to see, like, from what I saw last week, the Warriors, they played their Super Bowl last week, so it'll be interesting to see how they back up, you know, after all the high emotions of last week. Carl Lawton's been named in the centres. I don't know about it.
It won't be great things for attack, but I'll tell you one thing, no one's getting past him.
He can tackle, yeah. The other bloke that really impressed me for the Warriors, who I think I've now got him in all my draft teams, the front rower, JTB. He's a points-per-minute player. I really like the look of him. He happened to bag a meat pie on the weekend. Little bonus there.
Yeah, I think he played about 35, 36 minutes, but like you said, when he's on there, he's doing everything. Made like 26 tackles, 13 runs. Yeah, PPM beast. And just to have that sort of burst of energy when he's on the field, that's what sort of lifted that team as well. Along with that, Elisa Katoa, he was amazing.
Yeah, he's one hell of a footballer. He's starting again this week. I'm just having a look at their bench. They've gone with forwards this week, so it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Does Wade Egan play 80?
Yeah, look, I don't know if any of those blokes on the bench can rotate through.
I'm trying to look. Could they move Lawton in and shove someone out? Like, does Papalihi or Harris spend some time out there? Maybe.
Yeah, that could work. Yeah, you could put Harris in the centres. He has played there before. Yeah, now I think of it, yeah, it's probably what'll happen. Lawton come in, and give Egan a rest, and then yeah, Harris just goes out into the centres.
For the Panthers, obviously, you know, we spoke about it last week that we feel very sorry for the next man that has an injury or is suspended or dropped. And unfortunately, it was Brent Naden out in the backs, and I don't think he's getting that jersey back off Stephen Crichton. He's starting again this week.
Yeah. Every time he got the ball, he just looked dangerous. Big, rangy, strong. Obviously, didn't set the world alight, but every time he touched the ball, the commentators were just rubbing one out to him. He's something special.
Mate, this Penrith forward pack, I could throw a dart at them and hit one that I was impressed with last week.
Big, big, all across it. Kurt Capel, how good was he? Yeah. Isaiah Yeo keeps impressing. Viliame Kikau, if it's 10 metres out, just give him the ball. He'll score every single fucking time. James Fisher-Harris, what can we say about him? He just turns toils away. Episode Coruscant. I mean, it's a great side. I'm surprised that they didn't put the sword to the Knights, and it just goes to show you that how gutsy the Knights were on the weekend.
Yeah, I think a lot of that will come down to the halves. I think they're in for a tough little week up in down there in the mountains. I think Matt Burton, I think he probably outplayed Jerome Luai. I've got Luai in one of my draft teams, and he's really crucial to my side, unfortunately. But, mate, I think moving forward, I would be leaning towards partnering Matt Burton with Nathan Cleary.
Yeah, I like the look at Burton, and the fact that he kept calling for the ball, even though he kept missing the drop goals.
Jesus Christ, he was hitting them, though.
It just tells me that he's got all the confidence in his ability. Yeah, he didn't ice the game, but he had enough confidence in him to say, yep, nah, fuck my ball, give it here, I'll have another go. So I like that. But in this game, I just think coming off that 90-minute performance, five-day turnaround, and the Warriors just on a high, I love the $2.60 head-to-head Warriors, and I'll be on them.
It's a weird game for me. I don't like. I hate picking a team after they play extra time the week before, but I also hate picking a team after I feel like they're on an emotional high the week before, like the Warriors. So it'll be an interesting game to see how it plays out. Friday, 7:55, Rabbitohs up against Melbourne. God, I am not jealous of the Rabbitohs this week. Imagine playing Melbourne after a game like last week.
Yeah, it's all, and everybody's saying the same thing. Storm rarely lose two in a row. And after that shocking loss, I mean, Bellamy was fucking filthy. There's no way they're losing this game.
I must say, when I watched the Rabbitohs last week, I was a little bit disappointed in Adam Reynolds. I sort of felt like he went missing in that game.
Yeah, he sort of looked like an under-16s halfback. Wasn't sort of taking the line on, wasn't running to the line, wasn't engaging the defense. He was sort of just passing off, giving early ball to his centers or his back rowers, and that really helps no one. I mean, it gives the defense time to set and move up. He just needs to start running the ball, whether he's carrying an injury, which is probably likely. He's always carrying an injury, but he needs to start running and engaging the line.
Interesting on their bench. I thought Tom Amone last week was one of their better players when he came on the field. He's gone for Patrick Mago. Personally, I would have had Patrick Mago last week, but watching Tom Amone, I thought he had a really good, like, really great impact when he came on.
At one point, I kept saying to the boys, like, who the fuck is this number 19? He is a beast.
Tearaway, wasn't he?
Breaking tackles left, right, and center, having two runs a set. Yeah, he was really impressive and just came out of nowhere for me. I didn't even know who he was.
Having a look at the Melbourne side, I see we're missing one Nelson Asafa Solomona. Obviously, coach isn't a huge fan of the old front rower putting in the grubber brain explosion.
No good, mate. No good.
I'm all for it, personally. I think it's fucking hilarious. But if Craig Bellamy was my coach, I would be tearing up my kicking license as a front rower. Not a chance. To be honest with you, I thought there'd be more changes to this side. I thought we may see Momorowski come into the centres, but he seems to have stuck with the same back line, and it seems like Nass is pretty much the only casualty, isn't he?
So Nass, I think he got suspended, so that's why he's missing. But yeah, I'm the same, mate. I keep looking at this Justin Olam and Marion Sive in the centres, and I keep waiting for another name to be there, whether it be Momorowski or
Branko
Lee, yeah, or what's the other bloke, the drug cheat that's just come back?
Shandor,
yeah. So, I mean, it's a good problem to have. But I guess, you know, he's just putting his faith in these guys.
Interesting he's gone with Riley Jackson and Brandon Smith off the bench.
Yeah. How do you see that Riley Jackson coming in to the side here?
I'm not sure if he plays, to be honest with you. I wouldn't be shocked if he's a late casualty, but yeah, I don't know. I actually quite like Riley. I don't know. Like, is he thinking that he brings Jackson on at some point and moves Hughes out to the centres maybe?
I was thinking about that today. That's the only thing I can see happening is, yeah, Hughes moves into the back line and they just give Riley Jacks a go at half back, maybe towards the end of the halves when, you know, defense is a little bit tired and they're blowing. But one thing, if that is the case, that's a great sign either way for some of these forwards like Jesse Bromwich, Dal Finucane. They should be in for some decent minutes.
I think with a 5'8" like Munster, you could do worse than to have a halfback like Riley Jacks. Just a calming hand steering the ship. I actually quite like him.
I don't mind him. I don't mind Jerome Hughes either. When Hughes is on, I think it was it the first round of the season, round one, mate. His kicking game was superb. He had it on a string, and I think Sulasi Vinivalu went in for a couple of tries off his kicks. So when he's on, he's definitely on. He's just not consistent enough.
Let's move to the Saturday. Sorry, where are we? No, yeah, Saturday. Oh, there's no early game. It's only 5:30. Oh, because there's a Monday game. Makes sense. Yep. Okay, Saturday, 5:30. Parramatta 1-17, unchanged from last week. No shocks there.
Game of the round. This one. This is going to be a cracker. We talked about it last week as well. Manly, I see them going all the way. I think they are the team to beat, even though the hype's about Parramatta at the moment. I just think the Eels just have that premiership feel about that team.
Manly's at $2.40. I am all over that like a rash.
I just got movement. $2.40 all day, every day. Get on it now. Put your house on it. Mortgage it up. They will win.
I'll tell you what, one of my favourite plays from the weekend was that ball that Jake Trbojevic threw to his brother Tom. I think it was their second try of the day. Jeez, it was a cracking play.
They're on another plane of existence, aren't they? Like, they just know where the other one is at all times. Tom Trbojevic. Here's a question for you, Guru. Who is the better fullback at the moment, Teddy or Turbo?
I still prefer... Look, I'll put it this way. Teddy's the better fullback. Tom Trbojevic is the better footballer, in my opinion.
I totally agree. Turbo just has more of that silky ball movement, you know? You can trust him to make a backline play when you need to, whereas, though, if you're going to give Teddy the ball, you know he's going to tuck it and just bust a couple of tackles and try and go himself.
I think it also depends with the two of them. Like, if I'm the Gold Coast Titans, I want Tom Trbojevic every day of the week. If I'm a top eight team with a bit of structure and I know what I'm doing, it's Tedesco for me every day of the week. I think it depends what you're sort of looking for in a fullback.
If you've got a decent half and 5'8", you want Teddy all day because he's everywhere. He's super fit. He's on your hip at all times. Great support player. He's that perfect anytime try scorer because if he doesn't score a try a game this year, I'm dead set not here. That was my multi on the weekend. I think it was the last leg was Roosters 1-12, and fucking Jake Friend decides to be Alfie Langer, put a little grubber in, and ruin my day.
The Oztag specialist.
Jesus, wasn't I filthy? Fuck.
Mate, Saturday, 7:30 game. We got the Cowboys up against the Sharks. Speaking of being filthy, mate, I went to cash out my money the other day and I thought, oh, I'll have a look at the Dally M charge. I wonder what Tau Malolo's at. I saw he was at $10 and I thought, oh my God.
Oops.
That is massive overs. So here I am heavily investing in Tau Malolo, checking team list today, and oh my God, I could have pulled into oncoming traffic. Couldn't believe it. Not named.
But mate, he probably could still win it, to be honest, even with the week off. He's going that well. Bit of bone bruising that happened in the first 10 minutes of that game. So obviously he ran for 70 metres in the first half. Everyone was like, oh, fuck, what's going on here? Comes back on the second half, 200 metres with bone bruising in his leg. The bloke is a cyborg.
I posted on my page the other day, he ran for 130 post-contact metres. The Titans pack and their bench combined ran for 260. So there's 9 footballers there. Ran for 260 and he ran for 130 post contact meters. He is just unbelievable.
Yeah, I love the look he's got going on too. The bit longer hair, the stubble, a bit of a beard happening. He looks more menacing. It's working for him.
Doesn't look more scary to me. Now the other one that I've noticed here, Francis Mollo, he didn't start last week, did he?
No. So I think Josh McGuire moves down to the 13 to cover Tom Malolo, and then Mollo comes in to fill that gap.
Good little plug and play there. I really like him.
Great 1 week play, Molo. I think he scored about 44 last weekend, so he'll get a bump. If he doesn't get mid 50s, I'm not here.
Another one that I really, well, I've liked him for 2 years. I can't believe the Dragons let him go, especially with the way the game's going with, you know, you look at all the good teams, they've all got running hookers, and St. George let Reece Robson leave the building. Blows me away.
Only a matter of time until Reece Robson starts with the nine on his back and gets the fair share of minutes there in the middle.
Great little footballer. Let's look at the Sharks. Changes, obviously, Chetty Townsend's injured, so my boy Matty Moylan. Hey, what do you think of Moylan? I was pretty impressed.
Look, it's coming back. Obviously, he was a little bit rusty, but he got involved pretty early and often. So, just he's a great footballer. We all know what he can do. He's just got to stay healthy. It's as simple as that.
I'll tell you what, I was having an absolute heart attack at home when I saw him warming up 10 minutes before halftime. So he came on for 10 minutes. He went inside. He sat down for 15 minutes at halftime. Then he came back on. Then he came off. Then he came back on. If I had a bloke with chronic hamstring injuries, you're not warming up, warming down, warming up, warming down, are you?
Boys, can we just keep him on the bike? Keep the legs turning, please.
I was terrified.
Yeah. Mate, a few things with the Sharks that I noticed on the weekend. You got Josh Dugan at centre. He's a great pickup if he's on waivers because when he's healthy, he's also a fantastic super coach scorer. But if you've got Sione Katoa, get rid of him. He'll never get the ball outside, Josh.
He's got glue on his hands, doesn't he?
Big time. Just loves to tuck it and run.
I think probably more so when Moylan gets to play fullback. Obviously, he's playing 5'8 this week, so he'll be on the left side. Sean Johns will stay on the right. I think once Moylan does move back to fullback, I think he's going to unlock Jesse Ramien quite a bit.
Yeah, I think he'll unlock both the centres because obviously you've just got another set of hands. It's like having a second 5'8". So they will look very dangerous sweeping both sides of the field for the Sharks. He'll have inside, outside. He can, you know, Sean Johnson can use Moylan inside ball to Britton Okora. Like, I mean, it's just fucking a plethora of opportunities there for the back line.
I'm really looking forward to seeing that left edge this week. They'll have Moylan, they'll have Wade Graham, Josh Dugan, just strike everywhere, isn't there?
Yeah, so, and also, so if that's the left of them, they'll be coming up against East End Masters. Now, Masters has been known.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Own to make some bonehead plays in defense. So it's not a bad plug for some guys in that left-hand attack for the Sharks for an anytime try scorer, maybe Josh Dugan.
Connor Tracy is on the bench at 14. Tracy's a guy that I really like. I'm interested to see how they use him. Do you think he comes on with Brayley, or do you think he comes on and plays in the halves and Moylan goes to fullback? How do you think they'll use him?
Yeah, look, I don't like it if they use him in the middle. I'd rather see him push into the six and then William Kennedy probably come off. That makes more sense to me. Or he might even give Matt Moylan a break. They might be just easing Moylan back.
Another bloke on the bench, he's a local junior in my area, Talakai. Good to see him get a start again. He sort of was a bit lost in the wilderness for a while there.
Yeah, he's a likely type, isn't he? Gets on, does a lot of work. It's actually a great bench, isn't it? Braden Hamilueli.
It's handy.
Talakai, Sorensen. Yeah, no, very good. What are your thoughts on this game? Look, I'm leaning towards the Cowboys. But, you know, the Sharks might be looking for a bounce back here.
Yeah, mate, I think Sharks are going to have to play desperate footy here, and that's just so dangerous. But the Cowboys are better than what I thought they'd be, to be honest with you. I think Val Holmes, I didn't think he'd be... Like, I knew he'd be good, but I didn't think he'd be as good as he is right now. Just his soft hands and his quick touches he's got, like, the way that they play, he's close to the perfect fullback for them. But I think without Taumalolo, it's just such a loss. You don't even know what they're going to look like, do you?
No, exactly. And if Josh McGuire can lift, Hess, you know, some of these guys can really lift and take that burden that's left from Tom Lawler not being there, that'll give them a great chance of winning this game. You know who really impresses me? Scott Drinkwater.
Yeah, he's a footballer,
the
isn't
The hype
he?
Is real. The hype is fucking real. He was all over that game on the weekend. His Supercoach score does not reflect how well he played in that game.
Yeah, and mate, the halfback impressed me too, Jake Clifford. You know, he's had a lot of raps on him as a young bloke, but he really impressed me last week. I think for Cronulla, though, I think, like, he's extremely underrated, Chad Townsend. He's such a good seven, and I think they're really going to miss him. It's going to be interesting to see between Moylan and Johnson, who's Batman and who's Robin this weekend.
Yeah, I don't like the combination straight up. It's the sort of combination that you think, this will be good in 5-6 weeks' time. You know what I mean? So that sort of tips it to the Cowboys for me. I still think it'll be quite an attacking game. A good one to watch.
Let's move to Sunday, 4 o'clock, at the Canberra Raiders up against the Newcastle Knights. As I said before about Penrith, I hate being a team that's gone into extra time the week before, and I think, like, I love what Newcastle did last week, but to back it up again against a team like the Raiders, who are going to be flying high after coming back from Melbourne, it's a tough gig, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't think they'll have much in the tank after last week. And look, the Raiders literally outstormed the Storm. So they're a very clinical side. George Williams played out of his fucking skin. The forwards got involved beyond belief. So there's no way in my head that Raiders don't come away of this one with a win.
Still no sign of Johnny Bateman on the team list. Interesting to see that Rapana's gone back to the bench after playing last week. I mean, you brought it up last week that you liked that from Coach Ricky Stewart. I don't think I can disagree with you.
It just shows that he's given, you know, loyalty to the blokes that have done the preseason, have done the work, that have trained in the position. And for a player, you have to respect that. You're like, right, you know, he's not just buying some bloke from Japan and just going to punt me. He's going to give Bailey Simonson the chance to keep his spot by playing well in that position. And, yeah, fuck, kudos.
I'm really excited to see Andrew McCulloch play. I think he's going to be the perfect fit for the Knights. Api Kurosawa is the perfect fit for Cleary. I think Andrew McCulloch's going to be the perfect fit for Mitchell Pearce. There's not going to be any fucking around in the play of the ball. It's going to be clean ball when Pearce needs it.
100%. Straight off the deck, the ball will be out in front. He's going to tackle all day. Like I said, perfect fit. What do you think's going to happen with Tex Hoy? Is he going to come on in the later stages of both halves and sort of give McCulloch a rest? If that's the case, I can't see Tex Hoy playing more than 20 minutes. So, you know, you might get 60 minutes out of McCulloch.
I think when Tex comes on, I don't think he'll play hooker. I've got a feeling he might go to six and they might move Kurt Mann in there.
Yeah, okay. Yep. Well, that makes sense because Kurt Mann has played a bit of hooker. Yeah, that works.
But, I mean, yeah, if it's tough because when Connor Watson comes back, surely there isn't a spot for Tex Hoy in that team then, right?
No, I don't think so, mate. I think he's there because of there's so many injuries. And to be honest, I'll be surprised if Mitchell Pearce plays this week. That was a pretty solid concussion, and he'll be fighting the clock for that concussion protocol. I think it's 6 days. 6 days for the concussion protocol.
Yeah.
So I'll be surprised if he plays, but mate, how good was Bradman Best?
Yeah, mate, he can play, and I had him on my podcast at the start of the year, mate. The nicest bloke you could ever meet.
And he's big. He's big. He's fit. He's keen to get involved. I think he made, like, granted they played 90 minutes, but I think he made like 22 runs at centre. That's unheard of.
Yeah, no, he had spiders on him the other day, and I mean, he came up with a match-winning play. If bloody Edric Lee, he's got feet for hands sometimes, doesn't he?
Oh fuck! It's like clockwork. Lee dropping ball. You go. He caught the last one, so chances are he's dropping this bad boy.
Now I've put one guy on notice in this team. He's in every one of my draft teams, and I'm up to my wits' end with him. Herman Sasa. I need him to get some minutes this week, or he's out on his ass.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it, with Tim Glasby on the bench there. We talked about it last week. It's funny that CSE starts, but Glasby gets the fair majority of the minutes at 13. It's funny how they work it that way, but mate, you've got the Saifidi boys, Aiden Guerra, Shani Matautai. They're both going to get 80. So David Clemmer's going to get his 65, 70 minutes. So not much left over in the tank there for Herman Asayese. But, mate, give him one more chance. See how you go.
Mate, I wish Herman would leave and go somewhere else. I think he's an absolute star that's being wasted there.
Mate, if I were you, I'd be trading up for Daniel Saifidi. Get rid of Herman and get Daniel Saifidi. I think he's one of the top waiver claims this week, apart from Harry Grant, if he's still out there. But Daniel Saifidi playing 50-plus minutes, that just equals points.
The bloke that impressed me last week for Canberra and, you know, obviously impressed the world, Georgie Williams. There was a ball that he threw to Nick Kotrick out on the wing to score that, fuck, find me a better pill this year and I'll give it away.
Yeah, you won't see a better pass. That was pinpoint accuracy right on the breadbasket, bang. Try time, and that's what you want to see from your halfback. Complete opposite. So if you take him and you compare him to Adam Reynolds' game on the weekend, George Williams was just attacking the line, just one after the other. And he didn't care if he was just taking a hit up. He wanted the defense to know that he's willing slice through the line, and it sort of made them, you know, take a step back and give him some space, and sort of they're a bit wary about what he was going to do with his feet, and that gave him the time to just put on some of these perfect passes.
Let's move to Sunday 6:30. Why on earth are we playing games at 6:30 on a Sunday night? Blows me away. It'll be okay this week because we've got the public holiday, but last week, why on earth are we doing this?
Yeah, it was weird. I was all ready for the 2 o'clock game on Sunday.
I was out of gas by 6:30. I was done.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, threw me out big time. Do you know why they're doing that? Like,
I've got no idea. I imagine there would be some reason from the NRL that makes no fucking sense whatsoever, as per usual.
Get it through your head. Daytime footy is better. It's better to watch. It's better to play. Everything about it's better.
30 Sunday, we've got the Gold Coast Titans, we've got the West Tigers. Is this West Tigers by how many?
Start everyone. If any of these Tigers are on the fucking waiver, get them in your side, captain them, because the Titans are rubbish.
This Titans side, Tyrone Roberts, he returns at fullback. I think we spoke last week, I think we both prefer Phil Sammy at fullback, but I really like Tyrone Roberts, but I think he's got halfback written on his forehead. Aaron Clark starts at 9, so Mitch Rain and Nathan Peet started the year, then Peet started last week, Rain was out of the team, now they're both out of the team.
It's obviously Holbrook, he's looking for players that want to have a dig. You know, put your hand up, boys, who wants to actually fucking have a dig in one of these games? So he's just swinging the axe, and good on him, because it was pretty embarrassing from the Titans on the weekend. So look, the only shining light I can see there for the Titans is Jai Arrow getting decent minutes. He's a workhorse, and Big Mo. Now with who's missed out? There's a couple of big boppers that are Wallace.
Jared Wallace hasn't made the side.
Jai Whitbread.
The Donatron's out.
Yeah. So look, I like Big Mo for about 60 minutes in this game. So another one, if he's out there, grab him.
And mate, when you look at that bench, he's got Tana Boyd halfback and he's got young Tana Mapea, a winger. So mate, the minutes are going to be galore for Big Mo.
Big minutes. We talked about it last week. We said, go get him. He fucking put 87 points on. I went and got him and he was fantastic.
Jeez.
I was licking my lip.
It's an interesting bench, isn't it? I'm not sure how. Surely there's going to be late changes to this side.
Who knows? Who fucking knows? But all I know is anyone that's breaking that first line of defense and they're coming up against Tyrone Roberts at the back is just, yeah, they're counting their chickens right away. That's try time before they even get to him.
We spoke about him earlier, the West Tigers rake, Harry Grant, scored 80. The other day, he scored a try. They also gave him a line break for that, which blew me away. So he ended up scoring, 80, 17?
80.
So he ended up scoring like 52 points in 63 minutes in base, essentially. I personally think, I said it last week, I think it's a matter of time till he plays 80 minutes. I think probably hurts him how well Billy Walters did when he came on last week. But, I mean, if you've got a guy like Grant, I think he has to play 80 eventually.
I was thinking the same thing. So Billy Walters came on and he played out of his skin. His runs at a dummy half, they could not contain him. He obviously knows that Harry Grant is the favourite child, the golden boy, and he wants to keep his spot in the side. So as long as he's putting up performances like that, they can't get rid of him. And that's a worry for Harry Grant owners.
For sure. I'd love to see them put a real cricket score on the Titans this week and maybe give Benji a spell and let Walters go on and play six and leave Harry Grant there for 80. He could put on a real score against the Titans if he does 80 here.
I think there's going to be big scores. I mean, what David Nofaluma is going to do against the Titans, it's a scary thought.
And I'm sure BJ Leilua will show up for a team low on the ladder.
I hope so. He's in one of my sides. So fucking do something, BJ.
I'll tell you what, mate. I was stoked when I turned the telly on and old Lucy Leilua had gone to the other side. I just went, oh, thank fuck. Now they both can't get dropped. Thank God. Well,
they've seen the writing on the wall there because they're both terrible defenders. They've split them up, which definitely works. So who's playing on the left half? Is that Luke Brooks?
Yeah, Luke Brooks is playing left and Benji's playing right side.
See, I like that for Lucy. I like Lucy running off. I think that's a better fit.
What you said last week about him being told to put the offloads away, he really has. I watched it a lot closer this week. He's not even really looking for it, is he?
Nah. He's obviously just wants to get through his tackles and runs, but he's still very dangerous when he runs the ball, strong up top. And for a bloke that really doesn't look like a professional footballer, he's pretty fit.
Yeah, mate, he when you look at him, he doesn't pass the eye test in any way, shape or form, but he's got a tank on him.
Yeah, and I think he continues to play 80 minutes, so that's good news for owners.
Monday, we've got 4:00, Bulldogs versus the Dragons. Fuck, mate, if I was to wake up on Monday morning and my TV was stolen, I don't think I'd care.
I was about to say, if I wasn't so starved of fucking football, I'd give this a miss, but because I just want everything in my eyeballs at the moment, I'll be watching it. But yeah, I don't know who to tip in this game. They're both just as bad as each other.
The Dragons, they've made some changes here. Corey Norman to fullback, Bunt's gone to six. Adam Clune, have you seen much of him? I'm a bit of a sneaky fan.
Yeah, look, tough time to get your call up, isn't it? Not expecting much. He's a great footballer. But, yeah, look, this team is under severe pressure. I don't even know if this is the right move. Corey Norman at fullback really doesn't tickle my fancy either. The only thing I can say for the Dragons is Josh Kerr coming in at the 8. He is a beast.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Josh Kerr. He's, you know, how many minutes do you see him playing there?
With that bench, so you got Ewan Aiken and Isaac Luke on the bench, I think he gets a fair chunk of minutes, 55 minutes probably. I can't see James Graham playing many minutes. Paul Vaughan will get his 50 minutes. Trent Merrin's not likely to come on and play a lot of minutes. So look, that bench spells good things for Josh Kerr. And he looks, every time he runs the ball, he's got one arm free for an offload. He loves a tackle break. So if he's out there, if he's a waiver target for sure. And then with Cameron McInnes, how good was he on the weekend? Just tackling everything that moved. He's definitely hasn't lost any fitness throughout his injury. But you've got Isaac Luke on the bench. So I'm guessing that Luke comes on at some stage and McInnes moves back to 13. I can't see them benching McInnes at all.
I can't see them benching him, but like the way the modern game is moving, I think the tackle bot hooker is going to be dead soon.
Yeah. Look, unless you've got someone that's just can put in a performance at the 79th minute as well as he's put it on in the first minute. Look, the game's too quick, and you can see it with Cameron McInnes's attack. He had nothing in attack. I mean, he made all these points in tackles, and because he was just so fucking gassed from defense, he just really had nothing to offer in attack. So yeah, coach, I wouldn't have an 80-minute hooker in the modern game. I would always have your steadfast nine that you start with, and then someone to come on later in the half that can inject some energy, a spark, like the Tigers did with Billy Walters, because defenses are just out on their fucking feet towards the end of the half, especially if they've copped a couple of these six agains. Yeah, there's so much space in the middle. And if you can make that interchange right and get it right, yeah, it can be a coaching masterclass.
Mate, it shit me beyond belief. I put up a post on the weekend saying how good Reece Robson's going to be and how the Dragons would regret letting him go. And I had all these Dragons fans commenting, oh, we've got Cam McInnes. It's like, fuck, do any of you watch footy on the weekend? Can you see the way the game is moving? The rules are literally pointing to have an attacking hooker. Like, I love Cam McInnes, but the game is moving away from Cam McInnes. He needs to add a little bit more to his game, in my opinion. If I had Reece Robson in my club, I would have held on to him, and I probably would have turned Cam McInnes into a lock, because I just think you need an attacking hooker. That's the way the game is moving.
Yeah, big time. And I mean, defense is your staple skill for a hooker. All hookers should have it. But because take Damien Cook, for example. He can tackle all day, but he's got that fucking attacking flair that just adds another dimension to the side's attacking ability. And you're right, mate. That's exactly what they need. Mate, that doesn't sound like Dragons fans. Normally they're steadfast. They're not very sensitive.
Mate, hey, you made 73 tackles. Sweet. You lost 18-0 to a reserve grade side that hasn't been home in 2 months. It's like, fuck, what? Yeah, stats are good, but do you want wins? Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm too harsh on Cam McInnes. I really like him as a footballer, but I think he's got to add a little bit to his game. They've got forwards that win the ruck, like Paul Vaughan, Tyson Frizzell, Tariq Sims, but they don't take advantage of it. He shelves it straight out to the halves, and they just go sideways. It's just, I don't know. It just looks like an absolute shit fight. I don't know what they've done for the last 6 months.
Yeah, and look, and you've got that on top of the fact that once Ben Hunt and Corey Norman get the ball, they do nothing with it. They're not testing the attack, the defense. The kicks that Hunt was putting up, no chases, height to the ball, nothing. I just thought, you're just going through the motions. Yeah, it was not good at all, mate. If the Dogs can put up one of those gritty performances that they've been known to put up, they'll beat the Dragons here.
The thing that makes me lean towards the Bulldogs is getting Foran back. I think, Kieran Foran is so far past his best, but you can watch the way that he plays as a half this weekend, and it's going to blow out of the water what you saw from Ben Hunt and Corey Norman last week.
He will be in the face of the Dragons. In every time he gets the ball, he'll be just at them. And that's why he's had so many injuries in his career, is because he's a tough footballer and he plays tough. He's a run first, pass later kind of player. And, mate, if he's feeling good, he will definitely test the Dragons' defense in this game.
Bulldogs were obviously in trouble last week against a red-hot Manly. I must say, there was two guys that really impressed me. They came off the bench, Tua Monga and Faitala Mariner. I thought they were great when they got on the field.
We had a chat about RFM last week and were surprised that he wasn't playing in the back row there. I really thought that he'd get the nod over Dean Britt. He is and has been a great player for the Bulldogs. And look, I've given up trying to understand how Dean Pay works his side. All I know is Big Ray should be on there and playing 80.
Dean Britt, he was one that I saw him on the waiver in a few comps and sort of thought, oh, I had a look at his base and his previous games where he's played big minutes, and he looked like he was destined to get 40 or 50 points. Come up with 34, very disappointing.
Yeah, look, he's got a young head on him. It's just going to take time for him to sort of warm into the NRL and warm into... I know he had some games for the Bunnies, but... yeah, he's just still pretty raw. Made some mistakes on the weekend, bit of drop ball. So, like I said, he should be coming off the bench, just injecting some electricity, some energy, and just have Raymond Faitala-Mariner in there just running hard, straight lines.
For classic players, Fui Maiano has dropped out of their team. I know a few people would have had him on their bench. I'd be holding him for now. I think it's a matter of time until this Dragons team has another fucking 10 changes, and I'm sure he's going to feature in it at some point. He's a bloke that he just has a dig, doesn't he?
Oh, big time. I mean, both these sides, they're the merry-go-rounds. Players are going to be in and out of these sides all year. It's just how it goes. It's just how the coaches, they freak out. They make split decisions on players, and you just scratch your head. But yeah, I mean, he's not worth the trade out, that's for sure.
Off the top of your head, who are you looking at as your vice captains and your skippers for this week?
Okay, so look, got to be looking at the Tigers. Someone in the Tigers for a captain. I do look, if you're chasing points, I love David Nofaluma for a captain. Harry Grant could be a captain choice there as well. Anyone in the Tigers there, they're going to go big. But I think for your safe options,
I really like Payne Haas this week. Every week, but. Especially if Victor Radley doesn't get off this suspension, if he's not there this week, that'll leave the Roosters' middle a lot weaker than usual, and I would be backing in Payne Haas to go absolutely berserk there.
Oh, yeah, big time. He is a set-and-forget captain. You really don't need to worry about it too much. Just put the C on him, get your 80 points. As long as he's going to continue to play 80 minutes, he will get at least 80 points every game. You don't have to worry about him going below that. But to be honest, man, Tom Trbojevic, if I had a pick of anyone, I'd be putting the C on Tom Trbojevic. I just think he is next level, and he will really worry the Eels this week, and I think the Eagles win on the back of that.
I think some sneaky little VC options would obviously be the Penrith left edge up against New Zealand. You've got Kikau, Crichton, and Joshy Mansell. Mansell's averaging like 65, or he hasn't got a meat pie yet.
He's back. The source is back. I mean, this is what we know him for. This is why we love him. He doesn't need tries. He's just running, busting tackles. It's just sexy as fuck, isn't it?
Yeah, I really like that left edge for Penrith. There's actually there's my main draft comp. I've got Kikau, Crichton, and Mansour. I am just sitting, and I've got Jerome Luai too. I've literally got that whole edge.
Well, no wonder you're hoping they light it up.
Tell me about it. They copped a few first tries the other day. Thank God Kikau got it done.
Talk to me. What's some first try scorers? Let me and your listeners in on the secrets, mate.
Brisbane Roosters, got no idea. I really like Mansour to score the first try against the Warriors. I think that edge will be humming. I'll be taking Mansour. Melbourne game, I think Ryan Papenhuyzen, it blows me away he hasn't scored a meat pie yet. I'll be taking him first try. I think he's going to have a big game against the Rabbitohs. Him and Munster, I'm expecting them to really light it up. I'm at a Manly. I don't know. I think I might leave that one. Cowboys Cronulla. I don't mind Kyle Felt. He's always good for a first try, isn't he?
He is. It's just while Morgan's out, the attack seems to be swinging down the left.
The left edge, Scotty, yeah, that's fair.
So yep. He might go Ben Hampton in that one.
I love me some Benny Hampton.
Yep.
Yeah, mate, I think for the Raiders, I don't mind Elliot Whitehead this week up against the Knights, left edge defense.
Yeah, nice little short ball to Elliot Whitehead.
And Tigers, mate, if those absolute Muppets have Harry Grant sitting at $40+ again, everyone get on it, please. He is a running hooker. You didn't even see the best of his game the other day. He is, after Damien Cook, he will be the next best running hooker in rugby league.
I'll have about 6 anytime try scorers in this game, all Tigers, all in the same game multi. I'll be loading up.
Mate, it's been good having you on again. I look forward to our preview for round 5. Which game are you most excited for this weekend?
It's going to be the Eels and Manly. Yep. Fuck, it hurts me to say that Manly is one of the most exciting teams in the comp at the moment, but they look the goods, mate.
Can't disagree with you. Mate, have a good weekend. Enjoy your footy, and I'll catch you next week, yeah?
Too easy, brother.
See you, mate.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.